Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Just Believe Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Tarvis, and we've got a couple of great guests scheduled for today, although I think we're still struggling with what time zone we're in here, so working on that problem. But anyway, I just want to wish everybody a happy Sunday and a great start to a big vacation week with the 4th of July coming up. So I know a lot of people are on vacation, and hopefully if you're not listening live, you'll be able to listen into the show later on and when it's in archives. So anyway, again, my name is Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, intuitive, and author of the book Just Believe, and of course a radio host. And every week our show airs at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and we have lots of special guests in the area of spirituality, including, you know, subjects like holistic health, metaphysics, paranormal, different paranormal subjects, really anything that fascinates people about spirituality we like to cover on the show. If you would like to be a guest on the show, you can call or send me an email and my email address is lisa@lisatarvis.com. That's LISATARVES. Anybody who has any questions that they would like answered for either me or our guests today, you can call in at 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. If you want to just listen, you can call that number and listen from your phone. If you want to ask a question, push 1, and we will get you on the air when there's an appropriate moment in the show. So today, I have two really fantastic guests that I'm hoping get the information to understand that we're on East Coast time here, because I'm not sure where they're calling from. The first guest I had scheduled, I haven't heard from yet, but I want to tell you a little bit about him, and hopefully he'll be calling in the next few minutes. His name is Ted Marino, and he's a certified hypnotherapist, a success performance coach, and the creator of the Marina Method for Life Transformation. He's also a published author, educator, and sought-after speaker. Ted helps his clients liberate themselves from fear, anxiety, negativity, and habits that no longer serve them. He is entering his 10th year of private practice. Ted combines his life experiences and humor with his expertise in hypnotherapy and coaching to help clients move past their limitations and be free to explore what is possible for them and their lives. He teaches his proven techniques to business professionals, performers, athletes, students, and anyone seeking excellence. He lectures and teaches classes on hypnosis, self-hypnosis, motivation, and living mindfully. He's written a book. His book is called The Ultimate Guide to Letting Go of Negativity and Fear of Loving Life, and it's available on Amazon.com. Ted's an honors graduate of the Hypnosis Motivation Institute, the nation's first accredited college on hypnotherapy. An accomplished musician and singer, Ted lives in San Dimas, California. I don't know where that is. And is married with 2 beautiful daughters. So hopefully he's going to be calling in very shortly. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and I'm going to track them down, and we'll get them on the air. So everybody just hang in there with me, and we'll be having Ted on in just a little bit. Hold on.
Hi, this is Daria Ann, author and founder of the RightStream Radio Network. If you're an author, writer, blogger, or just someone who enjoys reading and learning, I hope you'll tune in to our inspiring, insightful, and educational programs. Every Sunday, join author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvez for Just Believe at 1 p.m. Eastern, when she explores a variety of spiritual topics, including alternative healing modalities. A gifted intuitive from a young age, Lisa's book, entitled Just Believe, chronicles her journey from a childhood of seeing and communicating with angels to a career in which she uses her talents to help others emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Each week, she interviews experts in the fields of personal growth, spiritual development, and alternative medicine. Military Mondays with author and military historian John D. Gresham analyzes current events and issues from the perspective of the United States military. Tune in at 1 p.m. Eastern every Monday when John, author of such books as Uncommon Valor and journalist for the Defense Media Network, interviews accomplished guests on important topics like national security and defense and global terrorism. RightStream Tuesdays with Daria Ann airs at 1 p.m. Eastern and welcomes authors in diverse genres, including romance, drama, military history, spirituality, and politics. We also speak social, discussing the benefits and pitfalls of social media platforms and the numerous and plentiful publishing formats now available with various experts in order to help other authors navigate through new technology to reach higher levels of success. During every broadcast, we welcome your calls at 347-945-7246. And of course, the chat room is always open. Can't listen live? No worries. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/rightstream to listen to the archives. And be sure to join us for our weekly Thursday RightStream Twitter chat at 11 a.m. Eastern using the hashtag RightStream on Twitter. Rejoice in the flow of creativity with the RightStream Radio Network and the RightStream Twitter chat.
In a moment, cancer changed our lives forever.
We were told nothing could be done to enjoy these final moments together.
But in that moment, when all seemed lost,
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital gave us hope.
Because at this moment, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital is saving lives with pioneering research and care. We're changing the way the world treats childhood cancer by sharing our discoveries with doctors and scientists everywhere.
And we'll never have to pay St. Jude for anything, ever.
At this moment, she wants to be in her own bed.
I want to be back at school with my friends.
I want to be outside playing.
Please take a moment and join St. Jude in finding cures and saving children. Visit stjude.org.
Hi, everyone. We're back. It's Lisa Tarvis on Just Believe Radio, and we have our first guest. I read his bio just a few minutes ago when we opened the show, and I am happy to welcome him to the show. Again, his name is Ted Marino, and he is a certified hypnotherapist. So he has lots to teach us about his method, and we're going to talk about his book, which is The Ultimate Guide to Letting Go of Negativity and Fear and Loving Life. We all need to love life a little bit more. So I think this is going to be a great segment. So I'm going to bring Ted on. Ted, are you there with me?
I sure am. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to hear from you. I'm telling you, this time zone thing is killing me.
I guess it's not morning there, huh?
No. It's so funny. It's like every week I'm having this happen. It's like everybody. I'm like, I don't know what I'm missing. How am I doing this? But it happens. It happens almost every week now. But there are all these. You know, everybody's time zones are. I don't know. I guess everybody just. And I'm bad at calculating the time zones. I do.
Well,
like,
I take full I take full responsibility for screwing that up. Okay.
No. It's. I do it. I'm calling. I have. You know, when I'm a guest on a show, I do the math backwards. Like, if it's on, I'm on the East Coast. So if it's on Pacific, I'll be okay. So that's 3 hours ahead of us, right? No, it's not. So I get like all messed up. So I do it all the time myself.
Okay.
But anyway, I did read your bio and all the stuff that you're working on, and I want to get right into it with you and ask you, what is the Marino Method?
The Marino Method is a method that I came up with that really is a whole person approach to life transformation. So let me explain,
if I may.
We have the conscious mind. So we use a conscious mind, you know, our thinking mind. We want to examine limiting beliefs, patterns of thinking. We want to use a conscious mind to create strategies for success. Okay? We think it's a tool. We also want to use different language patterns. So people's language is creative. Language is creative. So we really need to work on language, and that's a function of the conscious mind, which is supported by the subconscious mind. So we want to work with the subconscious mind to release limiting beliefs, old associations, old programming, if you will, that doesn't work anymore. We work with the body's energy system. That's important to release emotional blocks that may be stored in the body. You know, if a person has a spiritual belief, we'll bring that into the equation as well. But the underlying belief, Lisa, that I want to help my clients create is, I am okay just the way I am.
Yeah, that's important because, you know, people don't really understand that, that, you know, that it's okay to not be perfect or to not, you know, be perfect in what other people feel is perfect, you know, and that you have to be your own person. So what do you think the first step is then to transforming your life? What do you do?
Exactly what you just said. You accept your humanity. Okay? So there's a chapter in my book titled, Just Because Life is Hard Doesn't Mean You Suck. So life is hard and there's going to be challenges. We're going to experience doubt, fear, anger, confusion, as well as joy, peace, love, clarity. I mean, this is all part of the package that comes with being human. So I think the first step is to accept that. Understand everyone has problems and challenges. Stop beating ourselves up. Let go of the shame. And then work on moving forward into higher levels of personal power.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And that's one of the things I try to teach people, too, you know, is that you're, you know, you are okay the way you are, and you have to find a way to empower yourself, you know, and that's difficult for people. So
very difficult.
How do you describe personal power?
I think it's very simple. I think personal power is the ability to create a possibility and then take action to make it a reality. So if you lack personal power, you'll have problems creating possibilities for yourself. In fact, it'll be reflected in your language. Oh, I can't do that. Or that's just not possible for me. So personal power means, number one, saying, you know what? This is possible for me. I can achieve this. And then, number two, taking the steps, actually manifesting into physical reality that possibility. That is personal power, in my book at least.
So there are a few things. First of all, you know, you talk about taking the steps. What steps are involved? And is this a long process that people have to go through? I mean, I think changing the way one feels about oneself is a situation that is not, you know, people come to me and they expect me to wave a magic wand and all their problems are going to go away. And of course it takes a lot of inner work and it's a process and that takes quite a bit of time. How long is the process and is this where the hypnosis comes in that, you know, explain that.
Okay. So the process can take as long as it needs to take, or it can be as quick as it needs to take, but a lot depends, of course, on the client or on the person. See, the problem here is, you know, We are ruled, Lisa, by something called homeostasis, which is the desire to stay the same. And that homeostasis exists within us on every level, physical and psychological. So, you know, when we are given the possibility of transformation or change, you know, there's a very, very large part of us that doesn't want that because it's unknown, it's unfamiliar, it's kind of scary. It's very easy to do what we've always done. And so our natural inclination is to kind of stay in the habits of thinking that we have or the habits of behaving. Now, some people, and I'm sure you've experienced this, have reached the point where they are like, you know what, I've had enough, no more, I'm done with this, I will do whatever it takes to change. Okay, so those people are going to get changed a little more quicker.
Right.
But now the pain of being who they've been is greater than the pain of the unknown, the future, the transformation.
So what do they come to you and what do you do for them?
Okay, I like to say that people come to me for one reason and one reason only, liberation. They want to be free. They want to be free from thoughts, feelings, emotions, behaviors, physical sensations that no longer serve them. They want to be free to choose to live life in a way that makes them happy. So people come to me because there's something that they feel is holding them back. Even successful people, you know, sometimes feel held back from reaching the next level of success or happiness or health. And they want to be free to choose to live their life the way they want to and on their terms. So that's the main reason people come to me. As far as, you know, what I work with, I mainly work with anxiety, motivation, and I help people quit smoking.
Okay. All right. Do you think that people with their, you know, are they, when they come to you, are they always ready or do they just, you know, I mean, I know I go through little transformations. I decide, all right, I'm going to start this program or this whatever. And then, you know, I'm all motivated to start it. And then 3 days later, I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. Do people give up? I mean, do they find that, or is that part of what you do is keeping them motivated to keep that initial, you know how things wear off and change is difficult.
Yeah.
And when we feel the change, we fight it because, you know, we're comfortable even with the negative aspects of ourselves, we're comfortable with that because we're used to it. So are people, you know, are you having to keep them motivated? Do a lot of people give up?
You know, a lot of people do give up, actually. Okay. So not everybody gets the change that they seek, and that's just, you know, it's a numbers game, right? Not everybody's going to be successful. Not everybody's going to lose weight. Not everybody's going to quit smoking. And that's where my skill and my expertise comes in. If I can get people to feel freedom, if I can get people to get a sense of what it's like to not have to smoke, to not be ruled by that, if I can help people get a sense of what it feels like to be free from anxiety and have confidence, if I can connect them with that future state, then I've got a good chance of kind of changing their paradigm. So if I can connect with a person, if they can be truthful and honest with me and courageous enough that they're going to give me the information, they're going to be open enough for me to actually shift their paradigm, their basic belief system, then they'll never go back to the way they were before. They may go back to previous behaviors, but they'll do so with a conscious awareness instead of those behaviors being unconscious. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, so basically they're going to know that they're slipping back into their old ways.
Yes.
Be
and
aware
at that point,
of that.
They can make a choice. Yes.
Right. Is this, do I want to go back to the beginning or do I want to continue on trying to improve myself or, you know, whatever? And I think the improving yourself is basically finding happiness, right? I mean, you want to be happy. You want to, the goal, I mean, we all got to go through this thing called life. We might as well do it with a smile on our face, feeling happy and healthy and being being in the best health and shape and weight and you know, all the different things that you know, those things make people happy. That's those are some of them are very superficial, some of them are very deeply important when it comes to your health. But it's everybody's personal thing whether or not they what makes them happy, what makes them feel happy. So what do you think st- stops people from finding happiness? What do you think holds them back from being happy?
They count on something outside of themselves to make them happy. They don't see clearly that happiness is a choice that can be made constantly and ongoingly. Granted, sometimes it's going to be difficult to make the choice to be happy, and sometimes it's going to be impossible. But we always have the choice. People make the mistake of thinking that getting this thing is going to make me happy, or getting this relationship is going to make me happy, or getting to this weight is going to make me happy. And that's just not how it works. It could help, but if a person hasn't made the decision that I want to be a happy person, then nothing out there is going to change that.
Right.
But I think that's the thing that holds people back. Happiness is an inside job.
Right, right. And I tell people that all the time, too. I always say, you know, somebody will say, well, this, you know, being in this marriage or being in this situation doesn't make me happy. And they try to kind of point the blame, give somebody else the responsibility for making them happy. And we're all responsible for finding our own happiness. We're all, you know, if something doesn't make you happy, figure out why, you know, whatever it is that's going on in your life and change it. I mean, don't lay it all on somebody else's, you know, make it part of their issue.
Yes, absolutely. And if I can say one more thing about happiness, you know, I think another thing that really keeps people back from happiness is a sense of shame that they don't deserve it. Now, because of the mistakes that they've made, they're bad. You know, they're bad people. And so the whole worthiness and deserves becomes part of the equation. Instead of letting go of past mistakes or failures, you know, they're constantly beating themselves up, comparing themselves to other people. And again, you know, feeling shame for not having reached a particular station in life, not realizing that when they get to that station, if they haven't made the decision to be happy, that's not going to change anything.
Right. I think as little kids, you know, and then as teenagers and, you know, and then in your early 20s, you think when I'm at this age, when I'm 40 years old, I'll have this life, you know, and then
yeah.
It doesn't always work out that way. In fact, it rarely works out that way. And I think that people do. They find they get incredibly disappointed with themselves for not achieving exactly what it is that they expected to have, instead of just kind of rolling with things and realizing that there is no, you know, everything doesn't always line up perfectly the way you thought it was going to as a child. You know, you may not have the white picket fence, and you may not have the 2.5 kids and the minivan and all of those things, you know. So I think that, you know, I think that the expectations that people put on themselves can be actually very limiting. You know, it kind of, and then they feel like failures because they haven't achieved what they thought they would have. You know, and it's sad because at this point I have three teenagers, and I see them, you know, my kids are, my youngest will be 15 tomorrow. And then I have an 18 and a 19-year-old, and I see them, like, looking at their lives, like, oh, I just didn't think it would be in this space. Now I'm like, what? You're, like, 19, you know?
Yeah.
You have you're just starting. You're not supposed to know what you want to do yet, you know? This is normal.
Right.
But they do. They beat themselves up even earlier than we did. I mean, when I was 19, and I was just all about being 19. And now there's more pressure, you know. There's more pressure on people. So how do you help people? How do you keep them from how do you keep them from failing? How do you keep them from, like what I mentioned earlier? Do they quit? Do they give up? How can you help people to not give up? You know, to keep fighting, to keep it going, to keep that initial buzz that you have, you know, when you first decide you're going to make a change, and how do you keep that motivation going?
I help them become okay with failure. So I make it clear to them that if they don't want to fail, then don't take any risks. Play it safe. Stay in your comfort zone. You can keep from failing by playing very small in your life, but what kind of life is that, right? I mean, Helen Keller said life is either a daring adventure or it's nothing. So I help people to understand that failure is essential for success. You must be willing to fail and learn from those failures. So if I can get people okay with failure, then when they fail, that's not going to stop them.
Yeah, that makes sense because it doesn't, it's not really about, I mean, the failure is part of the process, right?
Yes. The two steps back is part of the process. The not knowing what you're going to do next is part of the process. The being confused is part of the process. The this is not working out is all part of the process.
Right, right. Anyone that has any questions for Ted, by the way, like I mentioned, he's a certified hypnotherapist, success performance coach, and the creator of the Marino Method for Life Transformation. And he's authored a book, The Ultimate Guide to Letting Go of Negativity and Fear and Loving Life. That title just, I mean, seriously, I don't know how it's selling, but with a title like that, I don't think you can go bad, because I don't think that anybody doesn't see that title and be like, wow, I need this book, you know?
Well, it has a subtitle, and the subtitle of the book is What I Learned on My Journey from Hater to Appreciator.
Ah, nice. I like that. The call-in number, by the way, if anybody has any questions, is 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. And if you can call and just listen, or you can call in, and if you have a question, press 1, and you will be in the queue, and I'll see it. I think I figured out how that works, too. This whole radio thing is very complicated. Anyway, what are the areas you specialize in? I mean, you talked about smoking and you know, that kind of thing. What are the areas that you specialize in when it comes to hypnosis?
Fears, phobias, and anxiety. So we're talking about fear of public speaking, fear of flying, fear of driving, social anxiety, test anxiety, worry, stress. So I help people kind of free their minds from constant negative future thinking, scaring the, you know, there's a technical term, it's called scaring the crap out of yourself. So I help people with that. And I do use hypnosis to help people quit smoking. I use hypnosis for many, many different problems that people come to me for, but those are the main areas of specialty for me, Lisa.
Yeah, I do hypnotherapy as well. I find that it's mostly for smoking, weight loss, and people like past life regressions. Everybody wants past life regression, which is actually a very cool hypnosis thing to do, but it's also a long session. But
it is. I've done a few past life regressions.
Have you? Yeah. I love having it done. I've had it done, and for myself about 4 times now, and
cool.
By someone else, obviously, because I can't hypnotize myself. I'm assuming you can't either. But
no, not for that.
Yeah, no, that's I've listened to the CDs and all the, you know, recordings. Yeah, it doesn't work. Anyway, you've got to see a pro, you know, and have it done that way. So, but explain, first of all, I want to ask you, all those things that you were talking about that you specialize in, did you suffer from any of those issues yourself ever?
I suffered from some social anxiety. So I was very nervous about approaching people and starting up a conversation. I wasn't a person that would go to a party and just introduce myself to somebody. I wouldn't say it was a debilitating anxiety, but it certainly was an area of great discomfort for me. When I started my practice, I remember going to a networking event, and you know, it was kind of a social mixer, and I spent the whole time hiding out in a corner with a, you know, a glass of wine. I didn't talk to anybody, and I saw another guy doing the same thing and went to talk to him. So I know what it feels like to have that fear of just saying hi or reaching out and extending a hand. But fortunately for me, I've not had any phobias or other major things like that.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I've never been a smoker. I've never, you know, had any of the typical things you get hypnotized for. You know, I think that there are so many that you can do, like you're saying, with anxiety and things that are so important. I've never had an issue with public speaking. I've always loved public speaking. I'm like, I might get a little nervous, but I totally love that nervous. I mean, that nervous feels good for me, you know. So I've never had a lot of these things. And, you know, I even wrote in my book, I wrote, you know, that public speaking is apparently the number one phobia, like, you know, the number thing people fear the most, and,
right.
And number two was death. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, wow, I don't know. I think that I kind of am, I'm going to be okay with the idea of public speaking way before I'm going to be okay with the, but I'm not afraid of death either. So, you know, it's weird. I have very few fears, except stupid fears. Like, I'm scared to death of frogs. Explain that one.
Frogs, wow.
Yeah, weird, huh? But I'm not afraid to talk in front of, you know, hundreds of people. So imagine that.
Yeah. I have a little bit of a problem with heights. It doesn't stop me from going up to a high building, but if I see somebody getting close to the edge of a cliff, I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh, I know, yeah. I don't like heights either. I don't like heights either, here, especially cliffs. You know, it's one thing if there's a rail.
Right.
I'm like pushing on the rail, make sure, okay, is this sturdy? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
anyway.
You're the same, so, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, it's not, I mean, I have some of, I guess, more, I don't know, my phobias are a little strange. I don't really like spiders, but I'm really terrified of frogs. and I live right by, of course, I live right by a pond. There's a pond, like, you know, across the street. And so we get lots of frogs, and, you know, and now my girls are all terrified of them, too, because I've scared them, too. So, yeah, great parenting on my part. Yeah, whatever. They could be afraid of worse things, I guess. For those people who don't know much about hypnosis, can you explain what hypnosis actually is?
Hypnosis is a natural state that we all go into on a daily basis. So in hypnosis, half an hour after we wake up, we're in a natural state of what is known as suggestibility. Half an hour after we wake up, within half an hour before going to bed, we go back into that natural state of suggestibility. When we are driving down the freeway and we miss our off-ramp because we're spacing out, that's another example of a trance state. Other examples would be when we're exercising and in the zone. Probably the most popular and fun way of being hypnotized is going to a movie and believing that everything you see is real and having all the accompanying emotions. So these are all hypnotic states that are natural to us. What I do is I help people to utilize that natural state of suggestibility for making very positive changes very quickly in their lives. So when someone's in hypnosis, they're awake, they're aware, they're going to hear everything that's being said, they're even going to be thinking thoughts, and a very common thought that people have the first time they get hypnotized is, am I really hypnotized? So the conscious mind is going to be doing what it always does, which is chattering. But the subconscious mind is open and suggestible to new, powerful suggestions based on what they want.
Right. And I do. I notice that with people all the time. And I always warn people when I'm doing hypnosis, I'm like, you're going to be aware of everything going on around you. You're going to be sitting there saying, is this working? Is this working? Let the thought come in and then just let it go and go back to listening to me talk. You know, I'm like, it's normal. It's normal to do that. So so what do you do? What's a typical hypnosis session for you?
Typical hypnosis session, if it's a first session, it's an hour and a half, so we'll, you know, I'll just let the person vent. What's going on? Tell me what's going on. How does this stop you in your life? Then we'll identify some goals, which I think is very important. How do we want it to be? Can you imagine what it's going to be like when you solve this issue or problem? What have you tried? You know, what have you tried that's worked? How does your language reflect what's not working for you? You know, and I get a complete history, you know, of what their development was like growing up to see if there's any kind of old programming taking place, and I'll ask them about their health and diet, you know, what's going on with your diet? Are you skipping meals? Are you getting any exercise? Are you drinking a lot, you know? Are you getting enough sleep? Because all of those things are, they're like the foundation of good mental and physiological health.
Right.
So we'll talk for about 45 minutes, and then if it's a first session, we'll do a hypnotic induction for about 10 minutes after they go into hypnosis. We'll do about 20 minutes of hypnosis. The way I work is I typically don't have people talk unless it's a past life regression. They're just there, comfortable and receptive, and I'm giving them suggestions based on what they told me they want and need. And I'll record the hypnosis part of the session and send them the recording so that they can listen to it at home. And their job after the first session or after every session is to listen to the recording every day until we meet again.
Right. Right. So how long does it take for someone to solve their issue, whether it's smoking or anxiety issue or whatever?
I always say start with 4 sessions because a month is a good benchmark, okay? If you can do something for 1 month, you've got a pretty good handhold on that new habit. Now, there's a lot of controversy about how long it takes to make a habit, but I think, you know, if you do something for 30 days, if you engage in different thinking for 30 days, you've got a foundation now, okay? You've got some tools, and you've got a direction that you're heading and a little bit of momentum, okay? Some folks, you know, they take a little bit longer. Other people just, you know, wham. After 4 sessions, they're right where they want to be.
Right.
But I suggest, you know, let's start with 4 sessions, 1 session a week. That's 30 days, and then we'll talk.
Right. And then you can go back and decide where they're at. And, you know, and I would think, you know, when you're talking about something like smoking, I mean, that's something that there's a chemical addiction side to it as well. Not to mention the idea, you know, people like the holding of the cigarette, it changes their social, you know, their social life is part of, you know, being a smoker. I would think that would be a difficult one to conquer. And I know that with the people I've seen, it's very hard, and most of them come and they want to do 1 session, and I'm like, well, 1 session is great, but, you know, you're going to have to put a lot of work into that besides, you know, just seeing me one time and having 1 hypnosis
right.
if you're only going to do one session. So I think that one's got to be a real difficult one. Do you have a lot of success with that?
With 1 session stop smoking?
Well, any kind of, like, even if they do 4 sessions.
It depends on how long they've been smoking, really. What I've discovered is that if somebody's been smoking over 30 years, and if they've been smoking pretty regularly a pack a day, then we're going to need more than 4 sessions, okay?
Okay.
And I actually make them a guarantee that if they're not a non-smoker by 4 sessions, they can have another 4 sessions at no charge. That's how serious I am about helping my clients quit smoking. If they've been smoking, you know, 20 years, if they've been smoking less than a pack a day, usually in 4 sessions we can get the job done. But again, a lot depends upon the client's motivation and how hard they're willing to work.
Right. Now, that's true for anything, you know. I mean, as interested in it, you know, that how devoted you are to making it happen, how serious you are about it. Is you know, a big part of how successful you're going to be and how quickly you're going to be successful. So I hear so many crazy things about hypnosis. I remember being in high school and even elementary school and junior high and things, and the school would have like for a fun thing, they'd have some guy come on and he'd have people quacking like chickens, and you know, every time they hear. What are some of the common misperceptions that people have about hypnosis that you've seen?
Well, I think one of the most common misperceptions is that you're under somebody's control, you know, and this misperception is perpetrated by like old movies where there's a guy with a cape, you know, and he's like, look into my eyes, you know, and nothing can be farther from the truth. You know, when you're in the hypnotic state, it's like when you're watching a movie. Anytime you want, you can get up and leave the movie. If you need to go to the bathroom, if you real bad, you're going to get up out of the movie. I don't care how good it is, you're going to go to the bathroom. So, you know, there's an example where you're in hypnosis and you're able to make a decision based on what you need and want. So that's a very common perception, that you're under somebody's control, and that's not true. What is true, in fact, is you have more control over your own mind through the process of hypnosis and hypnotherapy. Another very common misperception, and I'm quite surprised actually, is people think that when they're in hypnosis, they're asleep. And, you know, we use, as hypnotherapists, we use words like deep sleep or deep hypnotic sleep. So they expect that they're going to be unconscious. And, you know, what's he going to do while I'm unconscious? They don't really understand that, you know, you're awake and aware the whole time. If you go into deeper states of hypnosis, there may be some amnesia, you know, but it's not uncommon for people to, you know, scratch or to, you know, their phone rings and they turn off their phone and go back into the state. So,
right.
You know, hypnosis is not sleep. And I think the other very common misperception is that, you know, it can screw you up somehow. And I actually had this misperception myself. I saw a guy when I was in high school. This guy was going around. He was a guy in my high school. He was hypnotizing all these people. I said, how do you do that? And he said, oh, well, I checked out a book from the library. So I checked out a book from the library, the same book, and I started hypnotizing people as well. And one day I actually hypnotized a buddy of mine over the phone. He ended up falling asleep, and I tried calling back, and his mom answered the phone and tried to wake him up and had a little bit of trouble waking him up, and I got so freaked out about that that I stopped doing that because I thought I could really screw somebody up. But the fact is,
right. You
can't screw somebody up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
There's no side effects.
Yeah, it's weird to think that you have that, you know, that kind of, way of, and it's basically just a brainwave thing, right? I mean, it basically is taking you to, in hypnosis, you're just entering a brainwave frequency that allows you to be easily led into some kind of suggestion, you know? For me, I always tell people when they talk about hypnosis and if they don't live around here, I'm like, make sure you find somebody that's certified that actually has had training doing this because you've got to really trust them. You know, you really got to be able to, you've got to be able to trust them. Even though you're aware of what's going on, you're painful. It's not cheap to have hypnosis done. And you want to be sure that you're getting somebody who really knows what they're doing. And somebody that you can trust. Because if you're not comfortable, you know, that's going to be a whole nother challenge to get through it. So what do you do? Where you do? You live in Southern California. What do you do for people who that don't live around you?
A lot of people are surprised to learn that you can do hypnotherapy over the phone, very effectively. I've worked with people in Canada, I've worked with people on the East Coast, I'm working with a few clients in Texas, some in Northern California. So I do a lot of phone sessions, and they're very, very effective. And for some people, they're much easier than actually going and driving to an office. Like if that person has trouble getting around, or, you know, some people like the anonymity of a phone session, you know. They're more comfortable kind of...
Yeah, I would think that sometimes people are just more comfortable in their own home, in their own element, than they are someplace else. So, you know, it really makes sense that it would be maybe even more effective and for some people.
I have found that it's, for some people, it's much more effective than in office, yes.
Well, that's interesting. Let's talk about your book. You wrote a book called The Ultimate Guide to Letting Go of Negativity and Fear and Fear. And Loving Life, and the book for everyone who's listening is available on Amazon.com. And when you go to Ted's Facebook page, you can actually download, I think it's 3 chapters of the book for free. Is that right?
That's correct. And if you go to TedMoreno.com, you can also enter your email and download 3 chapters for free.
All right. So tell me about the book. Why did you write it? What made you want to write it? And I think I always ask as someone who's also written a book. It was quite a project. How long did it take you? And would you write another one?
You know, the satisfaction I got from writing a book and the pride that I feel from saying I wrote a book is so good. Yes, I would like to write another book. So that's my ego talking there. You know, people are like, whoa, you wrote a book? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
The way it started was, you know, I'm very good at following directions, right? Tell me what to do and I'll follow the directions and do it. So, In my early years of my career, somebody, a marketing person, said, oh, well, you should write a blog. I didn't even know what a blog was. So I started writing a weekly blog. And I wrote the blog mainly about my own experiences of insecurity and confusion and wandering aimlessly out in the desert when I lived in Arizona. And so a lot of my very first blog posts were very, very personal. After a couple of years of writing these blog posts, somebody said, you should take those blog posts and put them into a book. So I said, okay, that sounds like a great idea. So I took my favorite blog posts and I compiled them and put them into a book and self-published them. And it took a lot longer than it needed to because of that fear and procrastination on my own. But now that I have the book, boy, it was well worth it, you know, because a lot of people seem to enjoy it very much and resonate with it very deeply.
Yeah. I can't wait to read it. I haven't done that yet, and I plan to. Absolutely, because like I said, the title alone it's a great title. It grabs you, and you think, wow. I mean, yeah, I need to let go of negativity and fear, and I want to love my life. You know, so it's absolutely a great title, and it definitely is something that interests. I think is going to interest a lot of people. But tell me too, like, you know, what can people learn from the book? What kind of feedback are you getting? What are people finding that they're learning?
A number of people have told me that they like the book because the chapters are short and it's pretty easy to read. Okay, so they almost see it as like a reference that they can go back to when they're feeling anxiety. Tips on what to do when they are overcome by their chattering mind, how to deal with that. There's a chapter that talks a little bit about meditation. So it's a book that kind of gives people some idea of the tools that are out there and how to use them.
Right.
So it's kind of a how-to manual, right? It's about how to let go of negativity and fear and in little, easy, easily digestible chapters.
Yeah, which is great. I did the same thing with my book. I made it very simple, simple to read, simple to understand, which, you know, a lot of these books under self-help and spirituality and, you know, different topics, some of them get very, very complicated. And I always say sometimes I feel like you need a PhD, in the subject to be able to understand the book. And I wrote mine trying to be very simple with short chapters so that people could stop and start all they wanted or read it all the way through in one sitting and be okay with it, you know. And I get some people criticize that, most people love it. So everybody, you know, it's a personal thing, I guess. Is it available anywhere besides Amazon? I think everybody has their books on Amazon now, but
for right now it's available on Amazon in a paperback and Kindle version. Of course, they could buy it directly
from me. Okay, so people can download it for Kindle as well, which is great. That's how I read most of my books is on Kindle now. But some people just still love that hard copy feel in their hand, having it in their hand, you know. So tell me, what kind of message, you know, do you have something a message that you want to, you know, leave our listeners with? Anything you want to say about anything really?
Yeah. If I could give people listening just one thing to remember, or a couple of things to remember, it would be this: that we are not our thoughts. Okay, so thoughts are just thoughts. Some are true, some are not. Sometimes it's hard to tell what thoughts are true or what thoughts are not. Our thoughts affect us, but they're just thoughts, and they're not who we are. Our thoughts will change, so life is transitory. Our thoughts, our feelings will change. Once we can begin to step back and get some sense of detachment from our thoughts or feelings, now we're coming from a much more powerful place, and we're not the victim of everything we think and everything we feel, see? So, you know, I would leave people with this: you are not your thoughts, you are not your fears, you are not your limitations, you are not your beliefs, you are not your car, your house, or your bank account, you know. As human beings, we are so much more than that, and so what we want to do as we want to begin to see past our own conditioning and programming, to realize that the past does not control our future. If you take your past out of the future, what do you have? Nothing. Then you can create anything.
Right. And so much of anxiety is based on people worrying about things that haven't happened, you know, things that they really have no control over anyway. And, you know, I think that drives me crazy, but it's something, and we all do it. I'm just as guilty as anyone else. But I always tell people, you know, there's a quote, and I can't remember who said it, but you know, it was somebody awesome. You know, that if you're depressed, you're living in the past, and if you're anxious, you're living in the future. And so the answer would be to, you know, to live in the here and now, which is obviously what what we all want to do, but it's much easier to say than do. That's one of my big things. Yeah. My husband will yell at me sometimes and be like, "Lisa, would you start walking your talk, please?" He's like, "You're driving me crazy," because I can be like, I can get totally, you know, you get busy with life, and it's really hard. No matter how good I am at teaching everybody else what to do, it's not as easy when it's you, you know. And so it's perfect. It's perfectly okay to not be perfect. You know, and I think that, you know, that people, and when we do this, when we're in this kind of business, I think people expect us to be perfect, you know. And I used to do event planning and for a corporation. And when I got out of the corporate world, I did like wedding planning and you know, like social things for people. And I happened to get married to my husband during that time when I was a wedding planner. And I remember the pressure on me to have the most perfect wedding. I mean, everything had to be perfect. Not only were people expecting to come to a wedding that I was having, but it was a wedding that a wedding planner was having. So, you know, we put so much pressure on ourselves. We put so much pressure on ourselves based on, you know, what we do and what we know. And, you know, and it's okay once in a while to, you know, drop the ball and not be perfect. So, you know, anyway, tell everyone how they can find out more about you. Anything else you want to say about your contact information? We talked about your website, tedmarino.com. But tell everybody your Facebook page, all of those things.
Okay, my Facebook page is Pasadena Hypnosis. So if you just search for Ted A. Moreno, hypnotherapist, you'll find my Facebook page. I'm also on Google Plus. I have some videos on YouTube. If you search for Ted Moreno, hypnotherapist, Ted A. Moreno, you have to put the A in there because there's a lot of Ted Morenos out there. So my middle initial is A. So I'm also on LinkedIn, and you know, I'm hooked into the social media, so there's plenty of ways to find out more about me and plenty of ways to get in touch with me if somebody so desires. And I'd welcome any questions. I'd welcome any conversations. Anytime somebody has any questions or wants to talk, I'm totally and completely open to that.
That's really great. So everybody, I'm sure you can find all the links to your social networks from your website, tedmoreno.com. That's T-E-D-M-O-R-E-N-O. I would imagine all your links are there, and probably even a link to your book, right?
Absolutely.
On Amazon. All right, that's great. I really appreciate you being on the show. It's fascinating. I love hypnosis. I think it's such a powerful, powerful tool that that we use, and I think that there is a little bit of a stigma around it that scares people to a degree, and it's something that, you know, it's so. Once you understand how it really works, and once you've gone through one hypnosis session, you understand that there's nothing scary about it, that you are still in control of yourself. Nobody is, you're not a puppet, you know, you're not being somebody, you know, we're not puppet masters, you know what I mean? You're completely in control of your own self, and nobody's going to have you quacking like a duck like I saw in high school. So, you know, so it's like, absolutely, everybody, please visit Ted's site. And learn more about what he does. And I can't wait to read your book. I'm really excited about it because I think that there's a lot I know for me, myself, that I can learn from that, because, you know, we all get into this negative thought, you know, frame of mind, and then it's very hard to get out of.
I'd be happy to send you my book as a gift. If after we get off the call, give me your address, and I'll send you the book as a gift.
Ah, that's very kind. Thank you very much. I can't wait to read it. I'm very excited about it because, like I said, it's just, you know, something that I think we can all learn a lot from. So I'm looking forward to reading it for sure. So everyone, please.
Thank you. Looking forward to reading yours.
Right? Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll send you one of mine as well. We'll
cool.
exchange books.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for being on the show, Ted, and I look forward to talking to you again very soon and hopefully having you back on soon again, too.
Yes, I'd be honored. Thank you so much for having me as your guest. It was really fun, and I'm honored. Thank you.
Thank you. I feel honored as well for you being on the show. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye, Ted.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. All right, everyone. We're going to take a break and go and do a couple of commercials, some public service announcements, things of that sort. And then I'm going to be back with my second guest, which I think will also be really interesting for everyone. It's a completely different subject, but we're going to be talking about online dating with Miss Match. Become the queen of online dating in a skinny minute. Can't wait for that one. That's going to be a little different than our first segment, but I think it's going to be a real fun conversation. So if everybody can just hold on, we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hi, this is Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, energy healer, intuitive, and the author of the book, Just Believe. I'm also a host on the RightStream Network. My radio show is called Just Believe and airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Please stop by my website at www.lisatarvis.com. That's LISATARVES. For details on all the services I offer, information on my book, and my radio show. There are many amazing guests and fascinating topics scheduled for the show in the upcoming months. I look forward to connecting with you soon.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk. We have the power to stop the bullying. Speak out.
Speak up. Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get on the school bus.
To turn on my computer.
Message. A walk to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Hi, this is Jennifer Coolidge. The American Heart Association says the disco song Stayin' Alive is the near-perfect beat for hands-only CPR. If you see a teen or adult collapse from cardiac arrest, you only need two steps to help save a life. Call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest to the beat of the song Stayin' Alive. Disco is back and it's saving lives. To learn more, go to heart.org/hands-only-CPR.
Nationally supported by the WellPoint Foundation.
Everyone, welcome back. You're listening to Just Believe Radio with Lisa Tarvis. I am happy to be bringing on our second guest. She fascinates me. I'm gonna give her a kind of long intro here because she's got some great information that I want everybody to some great history and some great stuff going on that I want everybody to know about. Her name is Drea Bauer. And she is basically, let's see, she does
a bunch of different things with dating. She's a well-known dating expert, and I'm gonna just read what she sent me, which is, I think, fascinating. But it's now estimated that one in five new couples meet online. Millions upon millions of men and women are now utilizing the internet not only to keep in touch with family and friends, but as a vital resource in looking for love. At this point in time, the majority of the single dating population has experimented with online dating. Everyone knows a friend with a success story. Drea Bauer's success has not simply been dating the man of her dreams, but more importantly, becoming the woman of her dreams. She will share her success strategies for online dating and for online dating and for life in general. She's the author of a new book called Mismatch, Become the Queen of Online Dating in a Skinny Minute. Looking for her flame, she found her fire. She is our guest today to teach us how to navigate the superhighway of love and the online community. She's a graduate, actually, which is really fascinating. She's a graduate of the USC School of Law and Tony Robbins Master University and Leadership Program. She can boast achievements in other disciplines as well. She studied NLP. She's an NLP practitioner, which is neuro-linguistic programming, completing extensive hours of training with David Deeda personally, and being inducted as a oneness blessing giver, attending PAX training with Alison Armstrong, sitting in silence for 11 hours a day at a 10-day meditation retreat, and becoming certified in temporal dynamics and hypnotherapy. Drea is currently a practicing attorney, real estate broker and developer, executive producer of an environmental film, a constable commissioned by the governor, a board member of several nonprofits, and award-winning author. Yeah, okay. Doesn't make me feel like I'm underachieving at all, Drea. Great to have you on the show. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much, Lisa. It's a pleasure.
That is such an intro. I mean, wow. Not only about, you know, you start with basically going to law school, right?
Correct.
And you are now, I don't know, everything else, that, you know, a lawyer plus a billion other things.
It does keep my life exciting and interesting.
I would think so, because, I mean, okay, let's just go back over that last sentence. Currently practicing attorney, real estate broker and developer, executive producer in an environmental film, constable commissioned by the governor, board member of several nonprofits, and an award-winning author. Really? So do you get to sleep ever?
I do. I actually enjoy life so much, but none of it seems like a job. It seems like that everything I do just is such a pleasure and a blessing, and I really enjoy it. So, and that's kind of the nature of the whole book, Mismatch, is that I've turned my life into just every moment of it. I just am so excited and stimulated to be here and experiencing that everything is such a pleasure, even those things that may in the past might not have seemed like the most relaxing and most fun thing to do. They now have turned my life into being spectacular in every moment. So I'm so blessed, and I'm so appreciative of the knowledge that I have that I really just want to share it so that other people can increase the quality of their lives.
That is so awesome. It really, really is. I think that, you know, to be able to be so busy and be positive about it and not feel like you're really working, you know, when you're wearing so many hats, you know, and to feel like, you know, that you're just loving every minute of it. I think that's awesome. I really do. So what moved you to write a book about online dating?
Well, you know, I always wanted to write a book. And I feel like everyone has a book in them. Everybody has their own experiences that can share and help other people grow. And for me, I love self-development because it's the best psychology principles to make our lives like everything we've ever wanted. And once I kind of tapped into that world, and I did it first through Joel Osteen, who is actually a televangelist, and I learned a lot from him. And then I went to a Tony Robbins seminar, and I discovered they're teaching the same technology. It's all psychology principles. So I started really getting a handle on those and how to use them in my life to create it and make it everything I wanted. And then I, you know, I started doing some online dating, and I actually found that I could really learn myself better and how to interrelate with people better, but by virtue of my dating experiences. So those all added together just have made my life everything I've ever wanted it to be. So it's just created so much pleasure in my life between the dating and just becoming the woman that I really ultimately wanted to be, that I felt like it was a great way for other people to have fun and really expand the quality of their lives through learning about themselves and through learning about other people.
I've been a big believer in online dating for a long time. I've been married. I've been with my husband for 10 years, and so I haven't done it recently, obviously. I was an online dater back when online dating wasn't cool. You know, it was back in the days where you would never say you met somebody online, because that made you sound pathetic or crazy.
Desperate,
or something,
right.
You know, a daredevil, I don't know, something. So mine would have been probably around 1999, I would say, that I started, maybe 98. And after my first divorce, my only divorce, I started online dating. And I met some of the most wonderful people, still to this day, that I have ever known. I mean, so I met some creeps, don't get me wrong, but for the most part, as long as you're safe about it, and smart.
Absolutely.
It's a great method of meeting people.
And that's the thing, you learn by virtue of practicing and doing it. You learn, you know, the better ways to meet people that you're actually interested in. And that's the thing, again, with Mismatch, the book, it really helps you kind of cut through all the learning process and the learning curve and get straight to the meat of it, where you can really enjoy the process a lot more. Because, you know, it is a process, and it's just like anything. You kind of got to learn sometimes by trial and error the better ways to use the system. So it is such an amazing resource, though, that we can connect with people literally all over the world now. I mean, we are no longer limited by, you know, the same religions or ethnicities or even the same geographical area. So I think it's such an enormous resource for us. And, you know, now people are very specific, it seems, in what they want. You know, they want to share interests and similarities, or sometimes they want people that are the exact opposite of them. So you can literally go on there and get a feel for all these different qualities or inner person, and then you may also find some new ones that you didn't even know that you might be attracted to. So it really is an unbelievable resource, and we're no longer limited by our little community. Like, you know, I grew up in a smaller area, so
yeah,
I felt like I dated everyone in the community.
I know. You start thinking, yeah, no, I already dated him. That didn't work. You know, you're like, exactly. I mean, I came from a pretty small area myself, and you know, that's exactly how you feel after a while. You're like, yeah, not going back there. Like, you know, for me, it was
or your best friend dated him or something.
Yeah,
else.
Exactly. So, exactly. Exactly. But I always tell people, you know, if the relationship failed for a reason, you don't go back, you know, you never rewind and go back. And that's, you know, true, I think, for most things, except, of course, when we're teenagers and just stupid. But
well,
you know,
and I look at it as it's like I don't really consider it a failure. I think it's a great lesson, right? And then, fortunately, if you learn the lesson, then you don't have to repeat it, you know? So I think you're absolutely right. And so you move on, and you move, hopefully, to something else where it's a better fit, or, you know, again, you learn something else. So
I agree. I think that that's really, really important. I just want to give everybody our call-in number, because if anybody has questions about online dating, you've got the right woman on the phone here. We've got her on the show today to ask. So, and I know there are people with questions, but this is also a kind of sort of holiday weekend. Between this weekend and next weekend, things are going to be a little strange because of the holiday in the middle of the week. But our call-in number.
And it's storming here, so I don't know if you can hear it, but there's thunder and lightning in the background. So hopefully
really
we won't get cut off.
No, I mean,
I'm in Charleston, South Carolina, and it is hurricane season. So,
oh yeah, you're gonna get lots of storms. We've been having a lot of storms too. I'm in suburbs of Philadelphia, so we've been getting nailed too. It's either super super humid or raining. You know, one of the two. Anyway,
the call number
for the show is 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. 845-7246. If you dial that number and press 1, I'll see that you have a question, and I will be sure to get you on the air when there's an appropriate moment. All right, so getting back to the basics of online dating, Drea, the first thing everybody asks is, how do you choose a dating site? Because, like, for me, I always, like, make sure you get one that you have to pay for, because, I mean, at least you know the guy has a credit card, or I don't know. That was my way of doing it back in the day when, you know, AOL had a dating site. You know, it was like everybody had a dating site, and a lot of them were
free. Yeah, and there are... You're right. There are so many that are free. And I actually think there is something to what you say, because if people have something on the line, if they've actually invested something monetarily, sometimes they're a little bit more vested in the process. But, you know, to get their feet wet, they may want to try something where they don't have to expend any resources. But I tend to find that if they have to invest a little money, that it seems to be that they're a little more vested in the process. But now there are so many different niche sites. So you don't have to stick to just one. You can try several. Again, it can take up time, so you just kind of got to consider that factor in there. But there are niche sites for animal lovers, for people who do specific sports, for different age groups, for different ethnicities, for different religions. So there are so many out there that you just need to do a little research and see what stimulates you and see, oh, this looks like a great fit for me. If somebody's interested in these things, I know will be a great fit. So, or you may want to widen, you know, your perspective search, and things like the bigger ones like Match or eHarmony offer a great opportunity to really put yourself out there to a larger crowd.
Yeah, and I think with those, a lot of times they offer a free trial or something too. So, you know, even though you're kind of putting in your credit card information and everything, you might get it a few days free, or I don't know what they offer, but I know that
you're right.
A lot of them do
at least offer like a week or so free, and then you can kind of peruse and see what the profiles look like. You also want to look at the technology. It does help if they're user friendly, and again, some of the bigger sites, you know, have huge web designers and this kind of thing, so they're just very user friendly, which makes it nice. You may want to look at the search fields, like search parameters, because if there are certain qualities that you're looking for that are must haves, although I tell people to be very open, because you never know, you know, you may get a quality in a person you would have never wanted, but then you may turn out loving it. So, you know, unless it's a must, but if there are things that are must, you can look for sites that specifically, you know, cater to that, so that you can see that you're going to have the qualities that, you know, you must have in a partner. So,
right, I think that's important to be real. And I mean, you know, and I hate to say it, but like I was, of course, in my early 30s then, and I had, you know, the option to be, I was a little superficial. It did matter how much money they made, about how much money they made. I wanted to make sure that, you know, I wasn't going to be supporting someone else. I already had 2 kids to support. You know, sometimes I wanted it to be someone with kids, because I think that they understood my priorities better if they had the same, you know, with having children. Other times it complicated relationships to have, you know, both of us with children and going around schedules and everything trying to get together. I would go back and forth, and I think some of the things I found myself being superficial about, but they were important to me. So it made a difference.
I would say who defines it as superficial? You know, as a mother and a provider for children, of course, there are certain priorities that you have as far as taking care of them. So I would say that there's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing wrong with setting your priorities about what's important to you in life, because people have different priorities. You know, I used to be such like a stability junkie, and I was like, you know, I have to live here, and I have to do this, and I'll live in this state for the rest of my life. And then I got older and started discovering new interests. I started traveling more, and I just determined that I liked a lot of variety. So, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong in having those parameters, and I don't think there's anything wrong in changing them. So as women, we tend to change our minds lots. When you're looking for a partner, you know, I think particularly when you have children and those kinds of things, people tend to have these issues with money, and they, you know, fear that they're putting all this weight on something like that, that it does become important, because you look at the marriages that break up over finances. So if you don't have somebody who's similarly minded about how to spend the finances, it certainly can create problems.
Well, see, and I was never, it wasn't about me, it wasn't about finding a millionaire or anything, or, you know, a multimillionaire or some. It was about having somebody that made at least as much money as me. I just didn't want to be stuck with, you know, with taking care of, I was already taking care of children. I didn't need to take care of a man, too. I wanted it to, you know, to kind of not be that about that. But getting to that, we're kind of talking about the biggest thing I hear people say is they don't know what the heck to talk about in the profile. They don't know what the profile. They start making this profile and they get completely lost. And sometimes I'll read, like, a friend will be on a site and she'll be like, hey, you got to read this profile. And I'm like, dude, that's horrible. It doesn't even sound like you. You know. So what do you think makes or breaks a profile? What gets attention? You know,
for women in particular, the most important thing with the profile is the pictures. Men are very visually drawn. They say that men choose a partner with their eyes, women with between their ears. Men, we know, are stimulated visually. So you want to make sure you have great, classy, but good pictures. I always suggest a professional photographer because they'll get somebody to do your makeup and they know the lighting. And it's like we all have good and bad pictures. But photographers know how to make that, you know, that two-dimensional art form really pop you out and make you look your best. So if you can't afford it or just don't want one, there's always an art school or a friend that has a hobby of photography. So get good pictures. And then, you know, in the context of the profile, the written section, you don't want it to be over like 400 words, 250 to 400 words. You want to give them a taste of how much fun that you are and how exciting you are, but in a unique way. So not like, I'm a funny girl, I'm a smart girl. You know, maybe explain to them a funny, you know, story or something that shows how you're funny, or, you know, something that gives them a feel of what it's like to be in your company, but not something just so generic or so cut and paste. You know, it's always a good idea to stimulate your creative writing process by looking at other profiles, you know, reading online what other people are in, seeing a profile that, wow, that's creative. How can I make, you know, something similar? So it's not school. We're not cheating. You know, you can also get friends to help you or even a professional writer. But you want a good profile because it's just like your resume for when you're getting a job. One document that will reach, in this case, millions of potential partners.
Right. So, and so you think that the photograph is obviously super important. And basically, instead of explaining who you are, kind of show who you are. You should kind of write it like you're writing an autobiography, not so much like you're writing an ad.
Exactly. Like it's a fun story. Like they say that makes the best speakers is when they don't teach you something by just telling you facts, but they tell you a story. You want to get somebody invested in your story and in you and let them see what a fun, creative, wonderful person you are and how you're a funny girl, how you're a smart girl by, you know, these stories that bring them in, not just saying I'm smart or funny. Because, you know, it's easy to say that, but you need something that gives them the feel for it.
Well, and everybody's perception of funny is different. I mean, like, you know, I don't need somebody that's telling me jokes all night long. I want somebody that just has a great sense of humor. So you say, I have a great sense of humor. Well, you're actually like a professional comedian. That's not what I'm looking for. So I think you're solving the problem there if you're actually, you know, just... If you're a comedian, then, you know, okay, make the whole thing, you know, funny, you know, make the, you're being real, you're being who you are. So, so the next step is you see the perfect picture, read the perfect profile, and you want to email somebody. You want to email this person that you found. What do you say? What are you supposed to say? Hey, you're cute? I mean, what do you say?
Well, as a woman, just because I know that most men prefer to be the pursuer and men respond to challenge, I don't encourage women to email first. I say if anything, wink at them, nudge them, give them an indication of interest. But in my experience, most men still, it's very traditional. It goes back to caveman days. They're used to, you know, taking care of and providing and, you know, really vying for a woman's attention. So, you know, you may want to let them know you're interested, but they'll often know you're interested if you look at their profile because they can see generally who's been even looking at their profile. So you don't even have to wink, but wink or nudge. And then if they email you, respond just a couple sentences, usually something maybe about their profile that show that you've read it, like, I see you're interested in sports. I run every day on the beach. What do you do for exercise? Something maybe reveals a little bit about you and then brings them in with a question. Make sure you put a question on it because if not, they have no reason to respond.
Right. But what if you don't want to respond? Like, what if somebody sends you, like, you're online and you're, you know, somebody sends an email to you,
this was one of my big things when I did it, was I felt like I had to respond to absolutely everybody. If they took the time to write to me, even if I wasn't interested, I felt like I needed to write back and thank them for emailing and stuff like that. Is that right? Is that what you do? What do you do with when you're not really interested?
That is a great question, Lisa. No, you don't. I mean, particularly some profiles will get so many hits, it's just not feasible. You can't respond. And you will get people that get agitated, but generally those people have something going on in their lives that's personal to them and has nothing to do with you. So if you're interested in a gentleman, absolutely respond. But if not, you do not owe these people anything by virtue of being on the site. You just don't. And again, if they start to get agitated and send you ugly emails, definitely don't respond, because all that will do is add fuel to the fire, and then it keeps it going. So just
I had that happen once. I went on, the AOL had a site, and it was free, and thank God, I think they shut it down after a short period of time. But I went on there, put my picture. I had something like 300 emails in one day, because it wasn't restricted. Like, you couldn't restrict how far away people could, like, There were fewer parameters. Like, you couldn't control, people in other countries not being able to see your profile. So it was like I got bombarded, like, the first day you're on, because there were so many more men on than there were women, at least at that point. And I can ask you about the statistics of that later. But and I had people, oh, my God, you're such a bitch. You're not, I can't believe you wouldn't email me back. Within, like, 24 hours, I'm like, dude, do you have any idea there's no way I can email these people back. I mean, it's insane. And I think it's like that. I'm not trying to blow smoke up my butt here, but I'm just saying, because I don't think it's just me. I think it's that site in particular was very, very male dominated. You know,
it is balancing out more, but it is still more male dominated, which is wonderful for us women. But again, you just—it's just like if you like a gentleman and they don't respond back to you, or even if you go a great date and then you never hear from them again, you never know what's going on in these people's lives. You know, it's just, you know, chance encounters that you're finding online. So, you don't know what's going on with them. So you just cannot take it personally, and just you got to know that you're on the path and that you're doing what you need to do. And as long as you feel at ease with that, you can't worry about what's going on in their world. You can't take it personally. I've heard the saying, other people think of you as none of your business. So you've got to be good with what's going on with you. You don't need to worry about what other people think about what's going on with you. As long as you know that you're congruent and you're doing what you need to do, it doesn't mean you need to respond to every person that approaches you.
Yeah, I think that's important, because I always had such a problem. I always felt guilty. And then when you get on a site and you get too much attention, and a lot of times the new profiles do, because a lot of times it's the same people on over and over and over again, and a new person comes in, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, especially if you're a girl and you have good pictures, you know, they're like, wow, and then you're getting all these emails, and you're like, whoa, what am I supposed to do with this? So I think that's these are some of the things that people are stumped about. You know, they're not really sure what the etiquette is for all these kind of the little pieces to online dating.
Right. It's a very, you talk it's in very your book new of, in the world of dating. So we're still figuring it out.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, for me, it seems like it's been around forever, but it's only really been super, super popular in the last few years. So now it's like, if people say they met online, you're like, oh, of course you did. You know, it's almost more common than, you know, than school or church or work or, you know, whatever.
The statistic, I think, is 1 in 3 new couples is from online.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, over 40 million Americans alone have tried it. And I'm sure that number's grown since that statistic was taken.
Yeah, I bet it has. I bet it has, because it's probably really hard because of the fact that it's such a growing way of doing things. Even people that swore they'd never do it are doing it. You know, all of a sudden they're like, well, it's not, you know, hanging out at the bar's not working, and I'm not going to meet anybody at work because I don't want to date anybody I work with, and you know, so they have all these things going on. So what are you waiting for Mr. Wright to knock on your door? Because I got to tell you, that very rarely happens. You know?
Well, and for me, my issue was I was a professional and I was self-employed and I no longer went to school or an office. So it's a great resource to meet people that I wouldn't see at the grocery store or at conferences.
Right, exactly. You talk in your book about a Groundhog Day approach. Tell me about that. What is that?
Oh, this is such a fun one. I love this. Everybody's seen that movie, Groundhog Day. So anytime you're not getting what you want out of online dating, out of your life, out of your relationship, try a different approach. Change your approach. Try something new. If you're not getting what you like as far as people responding to your profile, change your profile. Change your pictures. Change your username. Change the outline of the profile, the questions, whatever you feel comfortable changing and altering in there, you should try it and play with it until you start getting the responses you like. Same when you're out on a date. If you answer a question and you don't like the response that you get on the other end of it, try altering the way you answer the question. That doesn't mean you're changing your opinion, but you can just literally change the wording. It can change how people feel about what you're telling them. Communication,
right,
they say, is 100% in how it's received. So try changing your approach until you start getting a response that you like. I did this when I was dating, and to where I got comfortable, you know, explaining, because I got the question all the time, why are you on here? What's wrong with you? And
yeah,
so
exactly.
You know, I simply explained, you know, I meet great men everywhere. This is just another resource that allows me the potential to meet my possible partner. But, you know, I meet them at the grocery store, at conferences, everywhere I go, at church. But I'm not going to limit myself by any means. And online dating, again, provided me this great resource to meet these people that I wouldn't in my ordinary course. So,
right.
And then they were like, that makes sense. You know, I don't go to a job. I don't go to school. So that makes sense. So, but at first I would just be like, I just thought I'd try it. And I didn't like the way that they seemed to feel about, you know, where I stood on it. And there was more to it. So then I saw from their response once I understood better. So it was, you know, feeling it out and understanding how people think. And you learn by virtue, again, of each time you change your answer, their response to that.
Right. That makes sense, though. That does. What about the question about the online, going from online to offline? What's that all about?
Well, that's the goal. I mean, you don't want to get caught up in a cyber world where it's just this online relationship. Most people really do want to be in a real physical relationship. So, you know, I suggest, you know, a couple emails, not too many, not too in-depth, so that you can get to the offline meeting. And then if they don't ask for your number, maybe direct it like, I'd love to hear the sound of your voice, and then allow them to ask for your number. Then, you know, you can talk to them on the phone and learn a little bit more. You get some indication of how things will go by the inflections in their voice and the tone of their voice. And then from that, you'll know, okay, yeah, I definitely want to try an offline date with him, or, you know, I'm not so interested. So let the nature of the phone call be that ultimately you're planning on meeting live and in person. When you do, you definitely want to make sure you keep yourself safe. That's first and foremost. So
right.
I always
send
the information to a girlfriend or a relative. You know, this is who I'm meeting. This is where I'm meeting them. Always meet in the public place. Always take your own car. Never get drunk.
Right.
Those are some good safety tips.
Yeah. Well, not to get drunk and not to leave your drink unattended either.
Absolutely. Never leave an unattended drink or your purse or anything like that.
Right, exactly, because you don't know exactly. I mean, just because you've had a couple conversations, I always say until you've actually, you know, people have these online things that go on forever and they don't want to meet because, you know, I don't want to meet until I lose 20 pounds, or I don't want to meet, you know, or you can't meet, or I don't know, whatever the issue. And I'm like, you know what, until you're actually sharing the same energy, the same space, you know what I mean? You don't really know. You can
absolutely
see all the pictures, you can have all the conversations you want, but until you're face-to-face and you're having that interaction, that live interaction, you really don't know the person. And that's when the safety thing, to me, that's why the safety thing, you don't trust anybody that you haven't met. You know, the safety thing is so important.
Well, and you're right about as far as being live in front of them, because, you can fall in love with the way someone writes or the way their profile looks, but you don't know somebody until we get live and in front of them. You miss all
right.
the submodalities and all the visual cues that we don't even know we're processing. You know, there are things that our body takes in. It's why, you know, it's always said trust your gut, because consciously we can't pick up things as fast as our body can. Our body can immediately know if this is right or this is wrong, but it takes a little while for it to make it to our head to say, oh, I know what I don't like. I don't like the way his smile is not real, because I can tell it's only in his mouth. It's not in his eyes. And, you know, that takes a while for us to process. But our body knows intuitively.
Yeah, I agree. And I think safety is such an important,
important part of this because, you know, this is the thing that scares people about it. I don't think that I suggest, I'm like, you should try online dating, you know. They'll tell me, if they don't want to do it, they'll tell me one of two things. You know, it's usually either I don't feel safe. You know, I don't feel safe, and that's easy. You keep yourself safe. You control that. You know, you completely control it. The safety aspect. But the other thing is, you know, a lot of people will tell me that everybody's fake on there. Their profiles are fake. No, but there's nothing real on there. How do you get past that? How do you get past the idea of feeling like, I guess not trusting the profile. I mean, not trusting what the people are writing, thinking that they're exaggerating or lying straight out.
I don't know that you get past that. What you do is, again, you learn to rely on your gut. And if you really trust your gut, if you're a really good judge of character, it works just the same as it does when you're in the real world. You have to start seeing that things match up, like, even within the language of his profile. I don't ever, like, choose a profile for my clients to go out with negatives in it. If there's a I don't like this, or I'm not happy with this, or don't show up like this, or, you know, those negative words, even if they sound perfect on paper, when you start reading into the overtone, you can tell that if they've been jaded by past, even online dates, like, look like your pictures, or I only do coffee on a first date. Those are indications to me that person's been scorned before in the past, and, you know, my goal is not for my clients to have to overcome those obstacles. It's to find that guy that's already in a positive space and is really looking for their ultimate partner. So you
right.
can tell so much by the profile, and then you're going to tell even more when you talk to them on the phone, and even more when you get in person. We know when we like people. I mean, everybody wants to be around positive, happy people, and you can get that from the subtle clues in the profile. Then you can get it even more on the phone, and once you're in person, you know. So you just want to remember all that stuff. You want to remember all that stuff you've grown up learning from your parents. You know, again, trust your gut, and then just we want to be smart and be safe, even if we get a good feeling.
Right, and the trusting your gut thing. I mean, hello, I live. That's what I live for. I mean, I live controlling my life by trusting my gut. That's what I'm all about. And you know, I always tell people, you stop talking to yourself. Stop having this dialogue within your head. Okay, you got to stop with the you got to block when you're trying to use your intuition. You've got to block your brain a little bit. You got to block your heart a little bit, and you got to feel. Just feel what you know. Just feel with your gut. What does this feel like? Does this feel real? Does this, if everybody used their intuition for, I think, decisions in almost everything, we'd probably make the better decisions in every area of our lives.
Lisa, I agree, but unfortunately, we're taught out of it, and it starts at a very young age in school when we're taught all the analytical abilities, which are also great for their purpose, and particularly for me as an attorney, I was so skilled in all the analytical that I had to go back to the roots of, you know, starting with meditation and prayer and really getting back to Mother Earth and saying, okay, how can I tap back in more to that intuitive ability that we all have and to that higher knowledge that we all have, to the collective consciousness that's right before us. So, you know, sometimes it's just literally getting back to what we knew and realizing that power. So, again, in meditation, all religions endorse meditation and prayer. So we know that collectively everybody says that one works. So it's kind of like my thing with vegetables. Every doctor I've ever met says, eat more vegetables, to all of his clients. So there's got to be something to it, right? So there's something to meditation.
Right. I totally agree. I think that quieting your mind and just getting into a receiving mode, you know, I mean, and even with prayer, you're kind of talking, you know, and instead, if you're meditating, you're kind of receiving, and that there's a lot that comes out of meditation. So I completely agree.
They said prayer is asking, and meditating is waiting for the answer.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly the perfect way of putting it. Are there obvious signs that somebody's like misrepresenting themselves, either through their profile or it's a phony picture? I mean, come on, some of these people look like supermodels, you know, when they're on their
Is that a turn off right away? You're like, oh, wait a minute.
I would say,
right?
one of the most important things is to look very closely at the pictures. If they only have one supermodel picture and no other pictures, that may be an indication. Look at the pictures, though. Look at the surroundings in the pictures, because you can often tell a lot from that. You may see if they're like a slob at their house, or you may see, kids, animals. You may get clues on, what they like to do, what they don't. Look at the surroundings in the pictures. Look at all of the pictures. A lot of times what they will do is they'll put one young picture and then, or maybe several young pictures, and then mix in a current one. So just look at all the pictures and maybe choose that one that is your least favorable and say, if this were my date, would this be an acceptable level of attraction? That way you're not going to be disappointed when you get there. With my clients, I also say, don't put all that other stuff in your picture. Make sure the picture is just on you and just about you. Don't put, animals or children, because we want them to, to be focused on you and not the surroundings. So, again, very good clues, though, you can get, though, from the surroundings of the pictures. You know, if they show pictures all over the world and you're more of a stay-at-home, then you're going to know that that's not a good fit kind of thing. If things
right.
don't match up in their profile, if they say they make $150,000 and then they say that, there may be other subtle clues in the language of their profile, that they, that they don't want to do anything with coffee, and they don't, travel, and they don't, there just are sometimes can be things that don't match up. So you just, if you look through again and read, you can kind of get a feel and overtone for the whole. If they say they're healthy and they exercise 5 times a week, but then, they, it's something in their profile says, I don't like to exercise. There are things that you can kind of read by. Look at all the answers to all the questions. I also suggest a lot of profiles will have what I'm looking for in a partner. Look at those things, and you can also get an indication if maybe you seem to match up to what they're looking for.
Yeah, you've got to do your due diligence with this stuff. I mean, you really do. You need to go back and you need to look and you need to see, like you're saying, for inconsistencies, for things that really, they have a picture of them, sitting in some really fancy car, but then they say they drive a truck or something in their profile. I don't know. There are just things you got to be almost like a detective, I think, like put on your PI hat for a little while and just make sure that your everything's making sense, that things are adding up. And I think that's important. So what about, how do you prevent a bad date, though? How do you so you're meeting this guy, how do you prevent it from being just a mess?
The funny thing is, I think this is such an easy one to do. This is the complaint I hear from most people that, it was horrible. This is why I only do coffee dates. But if you do the background, if you, really do your homework, couple emails, really read over the profile, talk to him on the phone, you should always know you're going to have a great date, no matter if there's a love connection or not, because you're going to have, you're both human, so you got one thing in common. But you should know that there's going to be enough common interest to talk about and to stimulate you for a couple hours so that you can enjoy this other person's company. I think the purpose of life is connection and for us to, engage with one another. So the fact that, you get to share an hour or a couple hours with someone new and learn about them or share with them should be a wonderful experience. It should never be a negative experience. And if you've done your homework, again, you're going to know that you have some things in common and some interest to talk about. So, again, even if there's not that love connection, it should be a great experience. And you never know what that could lead to. I mean, maybe they have a friend, or maybe there's a job opportunity out of it.
Right.
You just never know.
Right.
I mean, I had an experience one time, and I went out with a gentleman, and then the next thing you know, we were both going to Europe, but like a month later, we ended up meeting over there, and then with some of our friends met, and then one of them got a job with this firm. So it's just, you just never know how things are going to end up. It's very exciting to see how life plays back when we look and see how things added up, but you just never know where these experiences are going to lead you if you're wide open to it.
So how many phone calls before you actually set up that live date? How many emails, how many phone calls? People will say, I'm not meeting them in person until I've talked to them on the phone for at least a month. I think that's a little excessive. I mean,
I say that is an absolute waste of time, because again, until you get live in front of them, you don't know all the the cues that you would like.
Right.
That's why people sometimes prefer meeting at a bar or a restaurant or something, because they immediately know about the attraction. If you spend a month on the phone, it's so much time and energy that I think is much better put to use by meeting in person. And meeting in person it shouldn't be a scary event. It should, again, should be a fun event where you get to hang out with somebody new and learn about them. So I say, you know, I say around three to five emails at best, just to kind of feel them out a little bit and exchange numbers, and then, again, allow the gentleman to call you on the phone. If you get a good warm, fuzzy feeling from it, go ahead and make, you know, set up the date at that point. There's no reason to keep talking for hours on the phone. And, I mean, it's a lovely way to get to know someone, but you're not going to know the level of attraction until you're in front of them. So if you're really looking for a partner, you know, you want to get in front of them so you can determine if that's somebody that you really want to share an experience that may lead to a committed relationship or whatever it is that you're looking for. But I'm a firm believer in meeting them in person and not drawing that end of it out.
I completely agree with that, and I hear so many people that are afraid of the in-your-face kind of. I'm like, you're not going to know. And then I have people that are like, oh, I'm madly in love with this guy, and, you know, we've been seeing
before
each other for 2 years. And they haven't even met. I mean,
yeah, and then the minute they meet, it's such a, you know, a letdown because you're missing components that are, again, only determined by when you're. And again, it was like I was saying earlier, some of those things we can't even figure out why. People just call it chemistry. I ask people all the time, and the one word I seem to almost unanimously get is chemistry. People can't define it.
Yeah.
It is inexplicable because it is cues that your body picks up that you don't cognitively know why.
Right. Yeah.
It could be the way they walk or the way they move their fingers or, you know, the tone of their skin. You just, you may not know, but your body knows.
Yeah, I mean, it that's absolutely the truth. And you can be, you know, you can go out with somebody who, and this is, I think, another big part of it. You can see a picture online and be like, okay, he's not hideous, but he's certainly not my normal type. And then once you, I mean, I've had this happen, you know, with me with online dating. It was like, you know, everything else about him is great. I'm not crazy about his picture. I'm not repulsed by his picture, but I'm not crazy about his pictures, you know, whatever. And I'll be like, okay, I would go out on the date. And I got to tell you, there was one time that I was stunned at my attraction once we were in person. I was stunned by the fact that, you know, even though, and when I first walked into the restaurant, I was just like, okay, you know, I mean, there he is. He's no better in person. But I ended up thinking he was one of the sexiest people I have ever met.
You know, I think it's like actors. There are some actors that, like, if you just saw a flat picture of them, you wouldn't be interested in. But when you see him on screen, you're just, like, crazy about them, right? Because you get the energy behind the person. You get the feeling and the energy that lives in their body, and it changes the game.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, just the way that they might walk or the way they might, you know, the way they carry themselves, the way they say things, you know, they're having a conversation with somebody and seeing their soul in their eyes. You know what I mean? I mean, there's so much
Absolutely.
More to it that you don't know until you're in person. Do you, like, talking about that, do you think that there are body language cues that someone likes you or doesn't like you? I mean,
tell me about this. Because I love body language. I do, too. Well, you know, some of the typical female things that we do, you know, are preening moves, like lick our lips or twirl our hair or maybe stroke parts of our body to draw attention to them. So we do it, you know, subconsciously without even thinking about it. Men, the same thing. They may, you know, tuck their fingers in their pockets and point to their genitals, or they may point their feet towards you. When people lean into you, oftentimes they're much more interested, or, you know, point their bodies towards you. So there's so many submodalities. Women, very feminine women, will tend to have more sway and movement in their bodies, their hips, their fingers, their toes. Men are much more masculine, men much more spine erect and strong structure that is less movement. So, yeah, there's definitely some cues that if you look for, it's sometimes, again, our body picks up on them even though we consciously are not picking up on them.
Right, absolutely. I agree. It's again, one of those things you're obviously not going to be able to tell over the phone.
One more body language thing. When you tend to be in rapport with people, when you like them, you, again, unconsciously, you start mimicking, or they start mimicking your body posture. So you may notice his arms and your arms are both folded. You may not even know who did it first, but typically when you're in rapport with people, you'll start to take on their same physiology.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. I think that makes a lot of sense, really. So tell me what you think about, you know, how is it that you believe, and I'm sure you mention it in your book, how do you think your life gets to be, the quality of your life improves by dating online, by meeting people online?
I think the interaction of dating in general expands us so much as people. I mean, we learn about ourselves. We learn how we respond to the opposite sex. We learn how to communicate. We learn how to negotiate. So you learn so much by interacting with people in general. And online, you have, like, the unlimited audience to keep trying and trying and trying and seeing how different things that you do affect people differently. So I just think it's such an unbelievable, unlimited resource to really improve your communication, your dating, and your interpersonal human skills. So it again, we never have had this opportunity before, right? Now with the internet,
right,
the world is our oyster. So you don't even have to do it within your own, you know, normal socioeconomic or religious or ethnic group. You can venture out into other worlds and then learn how you relate to those people as well. So, again, it just allows us such an opportunity to grow as individuals and make ourselves more worldly and, again, more expansive as a person.
Yeah, I love that. I think that that's so true. I think that there's so many benefits to that kind of, you know, to the process of online dating. I think it's just so, it's nothing else. It's fun, and it's a great boost to your ego in a lot of ways, you know, whether you're male or female, I think that there's a lot of positives in it. So how can people get more information or support in online dating?
So, Lisa, I have a website called mismatch.us because it's all about us connecting. There are over probably close to 100 articles now on there, on my blog, all kinds of great information on, you know, dating, health, physiology, focus, all of the areas of life and all the areas that can really help you grow yourself into the person that you want to become. I mean, it's not about becoming who, you know, your mother wants or your father wants or what society thinks is right. It's what you find fulfilling. It really makes your life the best that it can possibly be for you. And so the stuff on there can really help, and it's some great dating tips and great profile tips, how to really navigate the online scene. Again, mismatch.us, and you can also sign up for the email, and that will keep you up to date on what's going on.
Okay, so mismatch.us. I think that's a great website too. I like the, you know, dot us. That's perfect. So people go to your website. Is your book available on your website? Is your book available on Amazon? Where can people find
it? It will be. Right now we're working on the publishing deal, so it should be out very shortly. And if they get on the email list, then I'll keep them up to date just as soon as they can purchase that. And that again is mismatch.us. But yeah, any day now we should be having it available.
Okay, and the book is called and will be out soon, Mismatch, Become the Queen of Online Dating in a Skinny Minute. Great title. And this has been fascinating. People are going to, you're going to get lots of response from the listeners on this subject, because it's such a, it's something that everybody's talking about right now. I mean, it's just real. It's just there. And, you know, it's not like back in the days when you had to hide that you were dating someone that you met online. Now people are proud of it. And, you know, and it's a great way to meet people. It's an awesome way to do it. So I think it's a great, I can't wait till the book's out. I'm definitely, even though I'm because my husband forbids it.
As well he should.
Yes, right. I'm definitely gonna read the book. I'm very excited to read it and see what they have to say, because I gotta tell you, with my clients, there are so many clients that come into my office that are looking for love, that want to know when they're gonna meet the man of their dreams or the woman of their dreams or whatever. And I'm
he's
like,
right there waiting on them.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, what are you doing to meet people? Well, you know, nothing really. And I'm like, well, what do you think? They're just going to, like, knock on your door? Come on, get out there. You know, and if you, well, I don't want to meet somebody in a bar. Okay, that's fine. Get online, you know, get online. And so for me, it'll be a great tool for me to use for my clients to be able to give them all the great reasons that they can date online and, you know, the
the great things about online dating from what I learned from your book. So I'm very excited. I can't wait till it comes out. So definitely keep me up to date, and I'll keep checking your website for sure too. And that's mismatch.us, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
All right, great. Thank you so much for being on the show, everyone.
Thanks,
this is,
Lisa. It was a pleasure.
This is Drea Bauer, and she has she's going to be offering a book very, very soon on online dating. So everybody keep an eye out for her, and definitely get onto her website so you can keep track of what's going on. If you have interest in online dating, she's your girl. So thanks for being on the show, and I'll be in touch soon.
Thanks, Lisa. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, you
Bye-bye.
Too.
Bye-bye.
All right, everyone. You've been listening to Just Believe Radio. We had two fantastic guests today. Ted Morano, whose website is www.tedmorano.com. That's TEDMORENO.com. And Drea Bauer, who her website is mismatch, MISSMATCH.US. So mismatch.us. So you can check out their information, and hopefully learn a lot from both of our experts today. So everyone, Just Believe Radio airs at 1 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. I have amazing guests coming up over the next few weeks. I'm booked all through the summer with amazing guests that I'm very excited about. Don't forget to check out my webpage where you can find the archives to all the radio shows on Just Believe Radio, and also all the other shows that I do as a guest, not to mention my information on where you can find links to my Facebook page, Twitter account, LinkedIn, and links to where my book can be purchased. My book is called Just Believe. And everybody, I really appreciate your listening. It was another really great show, and I want to thank my guests and all the listeners for taking the time to spend their Sunday either morning or afternoon with us. Until next week, everyone, have a very happy and safe week. Enjoy the 4th of July. Celebrate and be safe. I will talk to you all next week. Thanks a lot for listening. Bye.
Thank you.